Hey everybody.
Hey, everybody. So, we are here for Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And we're starting a new chapter tonight. Holy Spirit's interpretation of Romans. Yay! Crowd goes
Crowd goes wild.
wow.
Yay.
So we're gonna
Start with prayer.
start with prayer, and Connie's gonna lead us in prayer tonight.
You're pretty easy with that mic, aren't you? Okay, all right. Thank you, God. Thank you for this opportunity to express my love. Yes, thank you for this opportunity to express my love. I'm very grateful. This is a platform that I need and was provided for me. And I hope it's helpful to anybody that's listening because I know it's helpful to me. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. I was just reminded, I think I've told Connie the story before of when a woman I worked with for years and years and years at the courthouse was in the hospital. My ex-husband and I used to go and visit her at the hospital and pray with her. And my ex was pretty good with those prayers, and just, it just came out naturally, and long, complicated sentences, right? And my prayers are more like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyway, I don't know. So thanks for that. And Miss Porter said something about, boy, that husband of yours sure can pray.
Not so much you, but your husband, he's
Yeah.
good.
Oh, shoot.
Okay, so we're starting Romans.
We are.
We're on page 261, NTI Romans chapter 1.
Okay. This opening, which you are reading now, contains a very simple message of love.
We like simple.
All are invited into the awareness of God, as none are to be left out. This is an important message that I ask you to be quiet and accept now. All are invited into the awareness of God, and none are to be left out. I am the Holy Spirit, and I come to you on this day to teach you and to take you further along the path with me. Until now, you were not ready for the full devotion that I will ask. But you have recognized the hint of your release, and you are ready now. And so I will teach you what you have come to learn. Together, we are blessed.
I'd like to say I where he says you have recognized the hint of your release. I think that's where I am. I'm just now recognizing the hint of my release. And I don't know where that transition came in, but and maybe it's that 40 days thing that we're taking, and she's saying that
Lisa Natale's program.
Lisa Natoli is saying that the time to doing is over, and we've heard that before, but she's saying that really that the Holy Spirit is going to kick in, and as the fear is released, the Holy Spirit's going to kick in, and you're just going to see a whole new paradigm. That's just really exciting to me.
And I noticed also in Lisa's introduction to her program, and by the way, for those of you who are not aware, we've decided to take this Lisa Natoli's 40-day program as a family to do something that we want to do together. So that's what's going on there. But in that introduction, she talked about how she had spent all that time, you know, studying and reading and getting all this information. And she's like, but and nothing, it's not working. And she's like, well, I've read it all. I've read how it's all done, but I'm not actually doing it.
Right.
And certainly, certainly putting into practice what we learn is a crucial factor. But I think I'm having the same kind of experience that Connie's talking about, where something seems to be kicking in for sure. You know, who knows? Maybe it's the dawning of the light in the one mind.
Well, and as I'm saying, is how she's explaining it is that if you're, I mean, we're only into, or theoretically, we're only into like 7 or 9 days or something like that, and being rather intense for 7 or 9 days, and then she said, when you make that threshold, when you make that kick over to the beyond the fear, then. This other just then the grievances and stuff just naturally fall away, and as the grievances naturally fall away, you just naturally fall into this full devotion and the release.
You open the space for that.
Yes.
Clear the altar, as the Course in
Right.
Miracles would say. Have we written our letters yet? I signed mine.
Yeah, I wrote mine.
I must have missed mine.
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, you wrote yours out?
Yeah.
Oh.
I just wrote it out so it'd impact me more, that's all. And because I didn't have a printer. Yeah, to anybody that's not aware, you actually sign a commitment that you are going to participate in the program for 40 days. So the whole idea is that when you sign a letter of commitment, that you are that's much more committed. So you commit to things like watching yourself like a hawk and paying attention, notice the thoughts that you're having, notice the feelings and the emotions that you're experiencing, notice the stories that you're telling, you notice the words that you say, you notice how do you want to fix and control people, you notice when you're criticizing, condemning, judging, and holding grievances or gossiping, you notice conversations going on in your head, you notice when you're focusing on the past or thinking about the future. And you commit to 30 days, and this sounds like a
30 minutes a day.
I mean 30 minutes, yeah, 30 minutes for 40 days. Yeah. So anyway, it is a little intense, but I'm ready to be about it.
Yeah, and Cheryl asked when we started, and actually we started, and then we added like three people, so we're going to start over tomorrow.
Yeah, so anybody that wants to join is more than welcome to.
Okay.
So we're not, it seems like we're a little off track, but the point that I was trying to make is that full devotion, that Holy Spirit's saying that we weren't ready for, that we've recognized that that there is that hint of release and we're ready for it now. And I was saying that mine felt like it, that maybe it was brought on by this program, but wherever we are, this is
We're all ready for
we're
this.
all ready for this, exactly.
Within you, there's a wish. This wish is not within anyone else, although you would rather see it there. This wish is hidden deep within your mind, hidden by layers of smoke. Before we go together to look at this wish, there is something I want to know. The wish is only a thought. It is nothing else at all. It can best be described as a curiosity that you wanted to explore. It is really nothing, nothing at all. And for those of you who have joined us, we're reading, we've just begun the Holy Spirit's interpretation of Romans, Romans chapter 1, page 261 of NTI. I'm very grateful that you have expressed your freedom and explored your wish. Now, curiosity can be let go. I am your guide as I show you what you have learned in a daydream within the mind. Join with me in peace and detachment as we giggle at your thought in gratitude that it could be thought and let go. Now that's just really light. And of course, the wish that's being talked about here is what the Course in Miracles would call the tiny man idea. What NTI would say was the curiosity, what was everything, what if everything were different than it is. But it's a really light treatment of that, in that Christianity traditionally talks about original sin, and the fall from grace, and right, all that heavy stuff. And this is like, we're going to giggle at it together, that the thought ever occurred to you, that you ever seemingly had the experience. But most importantly, we're going to be grateful that it could be thought and then let go, that you couldn't think it and make it true.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we talked about last week, where the whole concept of this being a spontaneous play that you're playing in, and is not to be taken that seriously because it's not real. And therefore, if you can keep that in mind, that it is just a spontaneous play, everything doesn't get so heavy. Yeah. Everything doesn't get so real.
Yeah, and I feel to mention that there's a couple things going on here that could be taken very seriously. We found out recently that a family member has been diagnosed with cancer. We found out, was it yesterday, that an extended family member committed suicide. Talk about heavy.
Yeah.
That stuff seems really, really heavy. I'm trying to think of the lesson today from Gentle Healing. Give me one second and let me see if I can find that. Because it was, just one more second, if you guys don't mind. I'm not sure I'm gonna be able to find it, but it was right on point for this whole idea. Lesson from the Course. It's being pulled up on my tablet slowly. I came for the salvation of the world. I'm trying to think I'm going to read this.
Okay.
I came for the salvation of the world. Here is a thought from which all arrogance has been removed and only truth remains. For arrogance opposes truth. But when there is no arrogance, the truth will come immediately and fill up the space the ego left unoccupied by lies. Which is what we were just talking about, right? Only the ego can be limited, and therefore it must seek for aims which are curtailed and limiting. The ego thinks that what one gains, totality must lose. And yet it is the will of God, I learned, that what one gains is given unto all. Father, your will is total, and the goal which stems from it shares its totality. What aim but the salvation of the world could you have given me? And what but this could be the will myself has shared with you? You know, it's just this idea. You know, you talk about the spreading of the light, or I talk about the spreading of the light in the one mind. And you know, so when you're faced with, it's interesting because something I read today was talking about the oh, that was our reading for gentle healing tonight. It talked about the horrors of the world and how what we're doing is, you know, it again, it's the spreading of the light in the one mind. Sorry guys, I'm seem to be floundering here a little bit, but there was something that I read that, oh, here it is. It's actually from N.T.I. Jude. You are not alone. On down, your mind is one mind. Our mind is one mind. There are no minds that are separate and alone from other minds. This is why there is no suffering, because there are no minds that are alone. There's one mind, and this one mind is fully and completely yours. All of the horror that you witness and believe in is in your one mind. That is why it is not truly suffering. It is not one mind doing unto another mind. That would be suffering. But it is one mind choosing unto itself. And so it is only the illusion of suffering, even though it may seem to you to be real. So, you know, while you know, you can look at another person's cancer diagnosis, you can look at another person's despair. And when I got the text message about the suicide, the word horror really caught my attention in this reading because that was my immediate reaction. First it was horror, and then great sadness that anyone would be in such despair that they felt that they had no other choice. And this is not really somebody I know; it's a relative of a relative. That someone would be in such despair, you know, that this was their only choice, and so it would be easy to look out and see the horror of, you know, either of those incidents or both of those incidents, and feel a great weight from that. What's helpful to know is that the truth is true, and only the truth is true, and that what we are participating in is the play of the one mind, and at the same time, the one mind awakening to the one true self. So it doesn't negate that experience, but it does help to know that that experience is not the truth.
Yeah, and anybody that's listened to this broadcast more than once has heard me talk about one of my few really revelationary experiences, and that was that ex the experience that I had when I had that real insight to the depth of me that I knew that the world wasn't real. And how what a relief that was. And the reason, of course, that that was a relief is that if the world isn't real, then that means there is not cancer. There is not young people taking lives. That means there is not children suffering all over the world. That means there's not war and people killing each other. And the relief of it made me just cry profusely for hours. Because from the depth of my being, I knew the world wasn't real. So that's what he's saying here, is that they're going to giggle in thought and gratitude, that it is just a tiny mad idea, and that it's not the truth. It's not real.
Page 262, NTI, Romans chapter 2. Judgment is a fantasy. It is like a game that you have played, but it means absolutely nothing at all. It is like a toy, a building block that has given structure to your curious thought. It allows you to create alleyways and byways and to try this and to try that. But it was all within the field of fantasy, an amazing expression of curiosity. And that's what this is.
The world, yes.
Yeah. An amazing
expression
of curiosity.
You could say instead of fantasy, you could play world in there and to be the. Go ahead.
Yeah. And it was never any more than that. Imagine yourself with this idea, for this was the idea that you had. What if nothing was as it is? What if nothing was as it is? What if I could make something completely different and make it whatever I want? What would that be like? And again, that's the tiny man idea.
That's
right?
Exact description of the tiny man idea.
Yeah. And
as described in A Course in Miracles, of course.
Yeah, A Course in Miracles talks about tiny man idea, and this is the
that description. Yeah.
That description here in NTI. Yeah. So, and you know, imagine if everything weren't love. Okay, you don't have to look out your window, right? Yeah, and that's the experience that we seem to be having.
Yes. So we had perfection, and we imagined it different than being perfect. The world is the result of that.
Yeah.
So
what
if
would
it's
it be
not,
like?
Yeah. What would it be like? So if it's not perfect now, it's horror.
Your idea was just a curiosity, a daydream of exploration, and really nothing at all. Since the first question asked,
right,
I'll never be true. But in your freedom and the innocence of your curiosity, you set out to think, to explore, creating without creating for real. Right? It allowed. So you had a. There she is. Welcome back, Cheryl. okay, so our two options were to laugh at the absurdity of the idea, what if nothing was as it is. The second option is apparently the one we chose, which was to go deeper into the game of what if nothing was as it is. It was an opportunity to believe that the idea had become so, and nothing is as it was. Struck with the second option, you became engrossed by it, and you tossed the first option aside. Faced with reality and the option of fantasy, you chose to step into the fantasy. It was at this point that you began to forget. And you practice the game of judgment again. But this time, in error, you judged yourself for what was not true, and you believed your judgment of yourself. I've written in the margins here, O-S-H-I-T, I've done something wrong. Yeah, so, but it's just a deeper trail into that, you know, so I'm guilty and I'm, you know, all of this stuff that could never be, but I'm playing the game good now, right?
Yeah, and what's really interesting is, and all the stuff that we read about the tiny mad idea is what we're doing now is just a reenactment, as you're saying, you forgot, and then you forgot again, and now you're judging yourself, and you're getting deeper and deeper, so... This is just a spiral down that just keeps on occurring and occurring and occurring as we've forgotten and we get deeper and deeper into our forgotten state, which just over and over again reenacting the forgetting and forgetting to laugh.
Over and over again reenacting the tiny man idea.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. This is how you seem to step into a script. We're all in on the daydream. This is how you seem to step into a script, then lose your way out again. Right? Because
right.
We've forgotten that we could laugh now.
And get, yeah, because we're deeper and we're, it's even harder to remember when we just laugh about it.
Right. But it is just a script and nothing more at all. There is nothing at all to fear. Judgment is the tool that built the world, and judgment keeps the experience alive. But judgment came from nothing but an impossible idea and the desire to think about it some more. It's interesting. I'd like to explore this idea of judgment a little bit. I've written in my margin from who knows when. I got about four different colors on this page. But I wrote in the margin in definition of judgment, belief in my own ideas. And that's true on a certain level because it's all about the separation. You know, I judge myself as worthy or unworthy, but different from you, right? I judge you as complying with the rules or not complying with the rules. But again, I mean, it's all about this judgment is like the process of separation, right? These thoughts about I, me, mine,
Right.
that make me somehow different from you. And so that's really what I think. That's really what is being talked about here in judgment, because it's an interesting word and it's used quite a bit in A Course in Miracles. But judgment is one of those words that just has such a negative connotation and carries so much baggage with it that it's we our limited minds tend to think of judgment in a limited way as in you suck. Right, you know, like a judgment, but it's really every thought that we think apart from God, because every thought that we think apart from God is a separating thought. So it's this process. It's you know, of course the Bible talked about it in terms of Adam and Eve eating from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the two separate, you know, the duality, right?
Right.
So judgment is any thought that keeps us in a separated state, keeps us believing in separation, which is, you know, all the I, me, mine thoughts and everything else that comes from that.
Yeah, and just the other day you and I were talking about how the very first thing we learned on the spiritual path was give up the idea of separation. Give up the idea of judgment.
Right.
I mean, you and I think we both started with Journey Beyond Words as being one of our first spiritual texts. And over in it, it goes, you know, you're not separate. Give up the idea of being separate. You know, you have no separate interest in your brother. And over and over again, separation's not it. You know, judgment's not it
Right.
because judgment sees you and me differently.
Yeah, and that's what's being talked about here. And of course, what I'm trying to do is remove that limited connotation from the idea of judgment, where it's
Sure.
just when I go, you suck, or I'm better than you are, or I'm less than you are, you know, that it's just broader than we generally think when we think judgment. It's a separation thought. It's any
Yeah.
thought of separation. And they're all, and if you're not thinking with God, if you're not thinking the thoughts of spirit, they're all separation thoughts. That's what
Yeah.
I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pervasive. It and subtle at the same time.
Yeah.
That it's happening. You know, the tiny. It is the tiny mad idea,
Right.
and it is happening over and over
That's
and
an
over
excellent
and
point.
over and over again.
I'm seeing things different as they are, and I'm believing the thought that says that they're different than they actually are.
Yes,
Yeah.
and we don't even raise our head for a breath of air that we're not on to the next judgment.
Right.
So we can see how we've, you know, I mean, right here we just read a few seconds ago that said, you know, you forgot to laugh, and then you had a judgment, and now you're in your second judgment. Oh my God, now look where we are. I mean, you're just steep in it.
Bigger than the national debt.
There you go. Yeah, so that's why, you know, the whole course and NTI is all of it's an undoing, so that you can realize that it's not real, it's never really occurred, and just start giving up your judgment, and then that release that we began this whole thing, the full devotion and the release that you're ready for now, it's here.
Amen. Okay, judgment is the tool that built the world, and judgment keeps the experience alive. But judgment came from nothing but an impossible idea and the desire to think about it some more. All judgment is fantasy. Judgment spins fantasy. Judgment is a way to explore. It is a game, a folly, and nothing more. That's so sweet, isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
It has no purpose and makes nothing real. Judgment is a web of meaningless thoughts given only the power of fantasy and absolutely nothing more.
There's your world for you.
Yep. And we're at the bottom of page 263, Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 24. The game you have made to test your curiosity is a game with rules and options. This gives you the ability to continue to make judgments and to continue to play the game. The rules and options are important for another reason as well. The game that you play is a game of guilt and innocence, right and wrong, good and evil. To play this game in this way, there must be rules and options, and there needs to be winners and losers.
Yeah, so if you judge something, you're gonna judge it as either guilty or innocent. You're gonna judge it as right or wrong, good or bad, and winners and losers. That's the judgment. That's what. There you go, folks.
Yeah, that's the entire world of duality. This is a game that lets you express the guilt you feel for playing the game while mitigating your feeling of guilt at the same time. It's really sweet as being described this way, right? In this way, the game is an attempt to be gentle with yourself. It is an expression of love. You believe that you are guilty based on your own judgment of yourself for the idea and the game that you made. But you also know how to be gentle with yourself. So both are in the game that you play. And of course, you know, we're talking about mitigating your guilt. You know, that's the obviously the projection, right? The face of innocence that the Course talks about. Everybody else is guilty, not me. That's how we, you know, we see this in the world around us.
Yeah, so we had to have another person here to project our guilt on. Well, now we know we're separate.
Yeah, now that we know we're separate, you can take the guilt. I'll have the good time, right? However, the game that you play has become like a trap. For within the rules and the options, the good and the evil, the building block of judgment continues to be made.
I got a big old kiss.
I want one.
Sorry, audience. You can't get any of this good kissing.
Thanks, Tom, for visiting. Okay. So however, the game that you play has become like a trap. For within the rules and the options, the good and the evil, the building block of judgment continues to be made. And that's what we said a while ago. It's that tiny man idea over and over and over and over again. As your guilt is expressed with your desire to be gentle, the web of belief grows dense. Yeah, and again, it's like this is what we're just talking about, right? And I've written in my margin here with projection. As your guilt is expressed, I don't know what y'all are doing, but you need to cut it out. It's very distracting.
Sorry.
As your guilt is expressed with your desire to be gentle, the web of belief grows dense. Yeah, so, you know, I want to project my guilt out there so that I don't have to bear the full brunt of it. And then it's really easy to see others. You know, it kind of gives life to the idea that there's others
right
out there, right?
Right, yeah. The whole judgment and separation are so intertwined.
Yeah.
And then having somebody else to judge and be guilty. I mean, it's just like without one of those components, you couldn't have the other.
Yeah. Yeah. As your guilt is expressed with your desire to be gentle, the web of belief grows dense. That which is fantasy seems to be real. Its drama seems to be life. This is how you've seemed to become that which you aren't at all.
Yeah, this is how the web grows dense.
None of it is true. None of it is you. And yet you believe it is so. It is this we must look at, and this we must let go, because it is false and only believed to be true. Yeah, and we were talking earlier about how, and this was saying, you know, you've reached a point where you're ready to get this, basically. And that's what seems to be, I think, seems to be occurring for me now, is just the ability to really begin to see the false as false. You know, see the ideas and the circumstances and the people and just, you know, and just go. It seems to be, you know, there was a time, it seems like there was a willingness to go, take this Holy Spirit. And now it seems more of a, you know, like Amy Torres talked in our Satsang interview. Now it seems to be more of a giving, at the very least, a giving to Holy Spirit, where you just go, I know this isn't real. Whether, you know, it's a good thing, it's a bad thing, you know, whether it occurs to me in the moment or half an hour later, but to just go, yeah, this ain't it. This ain't it, and I don't want to do that anymore.
And you know, when I hear you talk that way, you realize that how the Course never ever really seems to say what forgiveness is. But that's what forgiveness is. It's that whole thing of going, this isn't it.
Yeah.
This is just not it. This is not the truth of me.
Yeah. Denial of truth.
Yeah. This isn't it. This is not the truth. And I know that. And therefore, I can give up my judgments because I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know the judgments only wind me deeper into the game.
And that's what, yeah, that's, it keeps the tiny mad idea going.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's so funny because as we talk about this, I'm like, you know, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, I could have said these same words, but they don't really, I just hear them differently now. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like nothing different is being said, but there's a more subtle comprehension.
It was more intellectual 15 years ago. Now, it's like, I really get this. That this is a facade.
We didn't. I didn't tell Tom hi before he left, but I'll tell him you said so in a little bit. All right. So let's see where we are. NTI Romans chapter 3. This is page 264 of Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. Within your mind, reason is confused because you believe all that isn't true. You cannot truly judge at all because you know nothing on which to decide. Your world is a fantasy of beliefs based on experience created through judgment without basis. And, you know, of course, what we're getting into here is this perceptual loop. You know, you think you know something because... I don't know why I struggle with this. I think I go, when I'm going, oh no, she's going to say it out loud. She's going to say it wrong. But what I think I see, what I see, I experience, what I experience, I think. But it's just like, you know, you're using this what seems to have been in your experience in the past to make a judgment now.
To project that in the future.
To project that into the future, which guarantees that you're caught in this circular, in this hamster's wheel of illusion.
Right.
And you're basing everything on what you think you know, and you don't know anything.
Well, and you read that earlier that if you let the arrogance go that you think you know something, now there's a space for God to tell you the truth. And you know, and that's arrogance is something else that's that whole subtle thing. I mean, we think we know something about everything, and we don't know anything about anything because we don't know all sides of anything.
Yeah.
So we don't know anything, but all day long, you know, oh, I know this, I'm right. But boy, don't tell me I'm not right. I'm right about this. You know, we don't know anything.
About anything.
About anything.
All right. Again, let's look at its beginning. You asked, what if everything was different than it is? That was an impossible question, pure fantasy. But then you judged the fantasy as if it was real and decided, through judgment, that it was. I mean, it's absurd we haven't started.
Yeah, judgment based on what?
What if everything was different? Oh, it is.
Must be right. Must be wrong.
But then you judged the fantasy as if it was real and decided through judgment that it was. This judgment did not make the unreal real. It only enlivened fantasy within the mind. Then you judged yourself for what you did not do, and you began the expression of guilt.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Every option and every judgment that came from this was an option or judgment based on fantasy, and so it resulted in additional layers of fantasy.
Because I'm exhausted.
Believing it, you know, all the way, and I'm doing this in front of Connie's face. Y'all can't see it, but, you know, it's that spiral. You're believing it all the way down, right? And so it's that spiral that we're undoing all the way back up. In the same way that perceptual loop works, and, you know, it's so funny when you look at this stuff, because it's all concentric circles or all fractals or what, you know, where it's all contained within one idea always.
Right.
It's all contained within one idea, but this is it, you know, that that our single building block was this judgment that we could be something that we're not, and then every subsequent judgment took us deeper and deeper into the dream. But this is exactly what we do in our own little perceptual loop: is we believe the judgments. Within what seems to be the individual thinking mind, we believe the judgments that we've made. We believe that those are real, and we make future judgments based on those judgments. So it's just a
and
microcosm.
Make everybody else wrong when there is judgments not like exactly like ours.
Right. But it's a microcosm of the macrocosm of what the one mind did with the tiny man idea, or this mistaken belief, this game that we decided to play.
Yeah. Yep.
So every option and every judgment that came from this was an option or judgment based on fantasy. And so it resulted in additional layers of fantasy. Nothing outside fantasy has ever changed.
And that's why they say that none of this has any real effect.
Sure.
Because, you know, what effect can fantasy have?
Yeah, and of course a lot of the teachers and sages talk about, it's like laying down at night and having a dream. You know, if you kill your spouse in the dream, are you guilty?
Right.
Yeah. No, you're not guilty. Right. It's a dream.
Right.
And, yeah. Because reality has not changed. Just because we decided to have this daydream or to play this game. Nothing outside fantasy has ever changed. Everything that is still is as it is. You are inside a place that isn't. None of it is true. It has no basis. There is, and this is funny, there is literally nothing there to judge. Well, you know what I think? I think you're doing this fantasy thing all wrong.
And we're gonna send you to jail for it, and maybe murder you.
Because you did it all wrong. This world is based on a misperception of guilt, but it is not based on sin. The sin that you judged yourself for was the sin of making what isn't. But what isn't cannot be made. And so, you have not sinned. The guilt that you feel and believe and express is all a part of the fantasy. You only feel it and express it because you believe it. But your belief doesn't make it true.
Gosh, I don't know why this is the whole ball of wax, folks. I mean,
are you taking notes?
we don't have to read any further. We're done.
God is the knowledge of truth. God is the absence of fantasy.
All right, well, that's important, too.
God is forever because truth is forever. And God's truth is within you. Nothing real has ever been lost by imagining something different. And of course, as the Course says, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. Since truth is within you, the way out of fantasy lies within you also. This is the good news of you. To return to your truth, complete and pure and innocent, all you need do is unweave your way out of fantasy. You reverse the laws that made it by ceasing to play the game. You let go of judgment and all perceived guilt. You no longer believe what isn't true.
There you go. There's a way out, folks. Right there.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, and of course, when we talk about purification and surrender, this is what we're talking about, right? The purification is, you know, you're loosening and letting go of this belief that it is true, that it's real, that it means something, that I could be guilty, that you could be guilty. You know, you're letting go of these beliefs. And as you let go of these beliefs, you surrender to, I mean, you could call it surrender. Surrender freaks some people out because the ego hears surrender and hears sacrifice, right? But it's a surrendering to your one will, which is to awaken to the truth. So that's all you're surrendering to. But because we're not used to thinking, because we're not used to being without relying on our thought process, which relies on the fantasy that we've built.
Right.
We have to learn to operate in a different paradigm.
Yeah.
And we do that by asking, well, how should I see this? What would you have me do now? Right?
Right.
And those types of questions.
Right.
Because we don't know how to do it because we're relying on fantasy I have been for 56 years, relying on what I think I've learned from fantasy to tell me how to be in the world.
Yeah, and that's why the Course doesn't start out saying, you know, the Holy Spirit's really your divine mind. No, the Course kind of starts out going, there's something that knows, and we're gonna surrender to that, and then you'll know too.
Wink, wink, nudge.
That's right.
Then you'll know too.
Right.
Right. Right. Okay. Yes. So, okay. When that which makes fantasy is let go as a practice, and I like that because, you know, something we read last week, actually, it was Peter. I read it on Sunday as well, or a couple weeks ago. It's talked about how fear is an action verb, you know. You let go of fear by not participating in it anymore. And this is the same thing. You can hear this as, we don't tend to think of it as we're feeding it, constantly feeding the fantasy.
Yeah.
But we are if we are participating in the thoughts that are born from our past quote-unquote experience, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like in Regina's class saying, you know, if you recognize as it, Because if you recognize it as being ego, then just simply don't go there. Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's enough. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's ego. Okay, enough. I don't need to follow that train.
Right. Let me give that train of thought up. Let me give that action up. Whatever. Just, I'm not going to go there because I recognize the fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I appreciate how it's talking about it as a practice, as an action, as an action verb. I mean, that you are practicing participating in the fantasy is the point that it's making here, because it's asking you to let go of that practice.
Oh, okay.
When that which makes fantasy, which we know is judgment, are those separating thoughts, right? When that which makes fantasy is let go as a practice, the fantasy begins to fade. As the fantasy fades, the light that is truth shines through. Then you will follow the light to your home, which is back to the awareness of truth without fantasy, which is back to all that is true.
Well, let's close this book. We're done.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, folks. Hope you got that. No, obviously. Obviously teasing. Shoot. I'm thinking that, you know, it's yeah, we only have 4 minutes, so I am not gonna start the next unless you disagree, I'm not gonna start the next chapter. I think that we'll turn this back over, and Cheryl, maybe you wanna play a song. If you're up for that, and we just want to express our extreme gratitude for the opportunity to be here with you guys and to be on this journey with you and participate in this way. We love you guys.
Yeah, we know this if it's not love, it's not real. Okay.
Amen. See you all next week.
Good night.
Bye.